Pushkin. Hi, I'm Phil Donahue.
And I'm Marlo Thomas. And we're going on a series of double dates to find out
what makes a marriage last. Our date in Los Angeles with Ray and Anna Romano involved a little more staging than we were used to.
They'd asked us to meet at a hotel near their home, so we got there a few hours early, and rather than sit in a noisy lobby, we booked a room, ordered room service, and then proceeded to rearrange all the furniture until the setting was just right.
Once they arrived, we all raided the minibar, and everyone ate M&Ms while Marlo struggled with the recording equipment.
And that has to go on.
It is. I can't believe you're doing it all.
I know.
Yeah, those are on, but then when you press this button...
Does it light? Because it's
something's supposed to light.
It's a button, though. I don't think.
Let's see here.
But you sorted it out like a champ.
Oh, the light isn't on.
There you go.
Yes.
Yeah, you had it upside down.
Okay. Well, that's funny. That's kind of my personality. Yeah.
We finally settled down to talk.
Well, first of all, you guys met when? How?
We worked together at a bank.
In a bank, we were bank tellers.
We were really young, and
I was bank teller.
I think I started there when I was 18,
yeah,
but he wasn't there yet.
I started working there when I was 25. I lived at home till I was 29.
Wow.
Yeah. So I drove my bike to work. I was pretty much like not the new stud guy working at the bank.
When he started there, there was a bunch of young girls. We all worked there. And we're like, oh, there's a young guy starting here. Yay, you know, whatever. And then he strolled in on a bike. Always 10 to 15 minutes late.
Yeah.
Should have known back then.
Well,
it wasn't going to change.
About 2 years, and I left after 2 years, right? And then I X'd her out after I had left the bank.
Yeah.
After I wasn't working anymore. But, little footnote, she was the third girl I X'd out at the bank. The first two said no.
Really? They didn't trust you at the bank.
Oh, well.
No. Why did you live at home? Was that like an Italian thing? Because that's an Irish kid thing.
It was part that. And,
but I feel like everyone in our neighborhood stayed home till they were married.
Yeah.
Most of them. People, I would say 95% of the
people that we know. A lot of my buddies didn't move out until they got married. I just happened to get married later. But also, I was kind of nowhere in my career or what I wanted to do. I had dropped out of college, and I was just kind of in nowhere land.
Until I met her. Then it all came together.
And when I met her, it was the same time I also started doing stand-up comedy. I always tell her, she took a gamble, because she went out with a guy who lived at home and rode a bike to work.
I know.
And now she has her own movie theater.
Okay, all right.
Well, you deserve it.
Yeah, thank you. Believe me, I do.
You put your chips.
I've earned it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, what was it about him? I mean, I wouldn't have wanted to go out with a guy who
rode
a bike in his 20s.
Honestly, I think it just grew from a friendship into a relationship.
Yeah.
So I think
we became friends. Yeah.
And he was funny. And he was kind and sweet. He really was... An easy personality, you know. We didn't have any expectations when we were dating. It wasn't like, we just kind of did it.
It was like what Rocky says in, what Stallone said in Rocky. It fills gaps. He goes, I got gaps, she's got gaps. Together we fill gaps.
I think that's true with us. Yeah. We fill gaps.
Yeah. And so you didn't, so he looked like he was going nowhere. So you could be working at the bank the rest of your life.
I didn't care, I guess. It didn't matter. I didn't have...
But to tell you the truth, I've always said this. She would be happy if I was a plumber. If a plumber made the same amount of money that I did. Yes.
Yeah,
You weren't looking...
If he could fix things, would be really great.
Yes.
Were you doing stand-up at the time?
I was like 27.
I
guess I was about a year and a half, 2 years... into my stand-up. So it's still very early.
Yeah.
Still very early. I'm still not making a living.
I was going to say, you're not making
any money. No, I'm doing it at night, and I'm working with my friend who owns a futon mattress company during the day. I never had the idea this is going to be my career stand-up when we started dating. I just loved to do it, and I just kept doing it.
You must have trusted something about him, right?
He was funny, and he was just kind, you know? He's just a good person.
I haven't heard the word sexy yet. That came later.
How long did it take you when you started dating to get married?
About two years.
Well, that's healthy.
But I think we were both ready to be married.
I remember one time, I don't know what the reason was, but I got jealous somehow. It was the first time I felt like this, and I don't know, I just felt like it kind of crossed over, you know, for me.
Aww, but, you never told me that.
The territorial thing.
No, yeah. New things. Yeah. I think we just both had the same goals without really even talking about it. You know, we both wanted kids and a family, and that's all we really wanted. So everything else was a bonus, you know?
Yeah, there wasn't like a... It just evolved. There wasn't a shocking me proposing and her...
No,
it just was a slow
progression.
Realization that we both agree we want to get married.
So having lived with your mom and dad all that time,
and
you moved in for the first time with somebody.
Her, I used to do stories about that in my stand-up. These are jokes, but these were true. Like, day one when you move in with someone is a crucial day because, you know, there's decisions to be made on day one that you don't think are important when you're living on your own. Like, what side of the bed do you get? And I thought that was trivial. And then I realized that's your side for life right there.
Yeah.
And I blew the call. I didn't look at the TV angle.
I blew the call.
Yeah.
I think we were also brought up the same way, where his mom did, you know, took care of the men in the house. My mother, very Italian, took care of the
house. But I didn't do a load of. Yeah. First load of laundry I ever did was when I got the TV show and I had to come out here by myself. And I remember having to call you and say, "Where do I put the thing in the soap and the whatever?"
So I think we had a lot of the same background. So we kind of just fell into our roles. Which I wish we didn't fall into those roles because I do everything, but...
Yeah, it wasn't like all of a sudden living on my own. It was like I was still being taken care of.
That's the thing that women do. You know, the fact that you're both Italian, I mean, my mom was Sicilian, my father's Lebanese, and there was a lot of screaming in our house.
Yeah.
Phil always said in his house, everything was very quiet.
Really?
You know?
Yeah, not in
they
our
didn't,
house.
His parents didn't fight. I was a great shock to him because I'm... Because
you're a fighter.
You're going to hear it right away, and I'm through with it in 3 minutes. He, on the other hand, is why did the ceiling fall?
She's Sicilian.
I think that's it, too. Yeah. We get mad, and then it's over. You know, we're done with
it. So how do you fight? Do you fight the same way?
Yeah,
we fight the same way. She yells at me. Normally, when we have a disagreement...
I get loud. I get
it's you getting loud to me. I don't return it because I know I'm always the one in trouble. So for me to flip it on you, like, I don't think I have the right to yell
good.
At you.
I'm glad. Feel that way.
I know. I'm always the one.
I think he's also very good at, like, I'm quick-tempered and I'll get mad and I don't think things through. And he'll be like, okay, All right, calm down for a second.
Are you the one that comes and makes it better? Do you ever apologize after you've started that? Or
no.
He's the one that...
We don't apologize to each other.
There's a couple of times where...
I mean, it has to be a big fight. If it's stupid little fights, no. We don't really apologize. We just get over it and that's it.
No, but even like, not to go back to my act, but but it's all about... A guy is always trying to score points with his wife. And what I've realized is in this game where we're trying to score points, we're always behind. We're always behind. You never feel you have to score points with me. I always
I guess I don't do anything wrong. Right?
No. It's not that you don't do anything wrong. It's that you do so much more good.
Oh, okay.
You know, where I feel like if I see the guy selling the flower on the corner, I go, let me get it and bring it home because it'll score some points. Where she doesn't feel that. She's ahead in points.
Well, I think that's true. I don't know. That's...
Look, listen. When I was doing my show and all that, she's the one home with the four kids. And she's the one. And I'm the one going on the road and going to wherever to film and going here. Of course she's ahead in points, you know?
Right.
She's the one holding the fort down. And, I mean, I'm paying for the fort.
Sure. Thank God. That.
Well, so trust is a big thing. So trust was not a thing you guys had to work on. You had that?
Yeah, Yeah, we had that. I think for us, it was, he became the Hollywood star, and I really was like the stay-at-home mom. I didn't have a career. I didn't have, I was not in this business. So I stayed in Queens for the first season, and he moved out. So he was living with his single friend who was always looking for girls, and I told him, too.
This
I go,
is during Everybody Loves Raymond.
During Everybody Loves Raymond. Season. I stayed in Queens with my three kids. I didn't. We only had three
kids. Because
we didn't
know if it was going to get canceled right. or whatever.
So Alan Alda did,
so
too.
So he, yeah. him, he living with this friend of his, I told the friend, I go, you're not allowed to bring girls up there. I don't care. I don't care. We're paying for the apartment. You're not having girlfriends up there, you know? Because, you know, now here's a new celebrity. I don't know what it's like.
He's
I don't
cute.
Know.
Yep,
and girls, you know, are looking for the next best thing. And I just, I didn't want, of course I don't want that. I have three little kids, you know. I think he was loyal.
I
felt,
you
know, yeah, I knew he was very loyal. But still, it doesn't even matter that you're loyal. I worry about the other women, the women, because they
may be at gunpoint.
They may force you to sleep with them. I don't know, you know, and you may have to say, I have to. So anyway, there was a little bit of that. And maybe I was a little, like, worried, but not. I really trusted him. I really trusted
Sophia
him.
Sophia Loren asked my husband out to lunch. And I said, I don't think so. I really don't.
For yeah. what, under what well, purpose?
Well, the women in my office would claim that if a female guest came on to me, I didn't know it was happening.
So that was good. That was a good thing, yeah.
But he had Sophia Loren on his show, right?
Yes.
The day after the show, she invited him to lunch. He called me. I was in New York. He was in Chicago. I was working, and he was working. And he said to me, you know, Sophia Loren called me and invited me to lunch. What do you think? I said, well, if she'd invited you to lunch before she did the show, I'd understand that. Because
yes,
that means
she wants
to get to know, warm you up a little bit, so you don't get to know her. But if she invites you to lunch after the show, he said, yeah, that's what I thought.
100%. I get more jealous. The funny thing is I get more jealous than she does. And I'm the one in the scenes with the women here. They, not a lot, but there's on occasion. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I had to do a threesome with on the show Vinyl that I did about rock and roll in the 70s. It was on HBO. It was like two years ago. And I had to do a scene with the threesome. So
with two young. Right. Are you going to tell that part? That they're how young?
Well, I don't know.
Okay. Young naked girls.
Yes.
Okay. Young naked girls.
Yeah. Well, it was HBO. It was Mick Jagger was producing it. It was on for one season. It was about rock and roll in the 70s. So I play a music producer, whatever. After which she goes, all right, well, what was it like? Tell me what the scene was like.
I asked a lot of details. I needed to hear the details.
I told her, I said, it's horrible. There's a guy there, and there's a boom mic there, and, you know, we're wearing protective stuff, and she's sitting here, and whatever,
asked,
you know?
I was like, where's she sitting? Where was your hand?
It's so unromantic, so but anyway. So that ends, and then she was out in the, it was in New York, we filmed it, and then she had to fly back to L.A., and I call her after the plane lands, and I go, how was your flight? And she said, it was good. I sat next to this actor, this young Latino actor, and he...
Well, wannabe.
He found out I was your husband, and he gave me his card. So right away, now I'm the jealous. I'm like, what do you mean he gave you his card?
Right? A thousand questions.
She's like, what do you mean? He gave me his card because he knows I'm you. He goes, but why would he give me his card? I kept going, and she's getting annoyed. I go, what was his name? And she stops me, and she goes... What was the name of the girl that sat on your cock?
You're going to fix him up.
Oh, God.
I did this movie with Chris Christopherson, and we're in bed, you know, kissing and whatever. And the scene was literally 4 minutes long. And when the movie was over, he said, that is the longest fucking love scene I've ever seen in my life. I said, what the fuck was the joke about?
We'll have more after a quick break. We're back to our conversation with Ray and Anna Romano. They've been together for more than 30 years. Not an easy thing to do in Hollywood. So Marlo asked, what's the glue that keeps them together?
It's that we're compatible. She's this person, I'm this person. I'm this person who performs and part of me needs attention and this and that, that doesn't threaten her and she doesn't feel neglected by that, you know? And especially in this business, the pieces have to fit that way, I feel.
Like he needs that attention from other people. All I want is the attention from my family. I don't really need it from
and me, and other she doesn't
people.
Even get it from me as much as
yes,
I should.
Not at
and
all.
And yet she accepts
why is
that?
That? Is that your Catholic Italian thing?
Yeah, the father and all that. You know, my father was very undemonstrative, and it was just hard to show anything like that.
Yeah. But you know what? I don't even think it's only that because I noticed. I think it's genetic. I think it's something you're born with.
But
and
they
who
also
you are.
Pick up on
They're,
me.
Because yeah, I, maybe.
I,
yeah.
My father never said he loved me to me, never. So I go out of my way to make sure my kids don't feel that. But even when I do, it doesn't roll off the tongue. It doesn't come natural.
It's,
yes, but I do it. But it's conscious. But I feel self-conscious doing it. So they pick up on that a little bit, you know?
Yeah. Well, my kids are now. They now say, love you.
Yeah.
That was hard.
It's hard, yeah.
Yeah.
It came out.
Was it hard for you, though, to tell them?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. It's weird how just some people...
Yeah.
The first time he told me he loved me, we were in Chicago near his home. We were taking a walk, and he said to me, okay, I'm going to play a card here.
He was setting you up for it, yeah.
I'll play a card here. I said, yeah. He says, I love you. I said... That's a card?
Yeah.
He's trying to see if you're going
to... He's trying to see if you can get it out.
Yeah, right.
Because his parents never said, I love
you. It didn't come natural.
Yeah. My parents said, I love you all the time.
Yeah, you know.
We cried. My father cried all the time. My mother cried. Everybody was very emotional.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's completely different kind of...
Well, how about the first time we kissed?
Yeah, so the first time we kissed, he drove me home to my mom's house. And we made out in the car. So we were done, and I don't know what to do next. And so I look at him, and he literally is not looking at me. He can't even look at me. He's looking straight out the windshield, straight ahead. And I'm like, okay, so I'll see you tomorrow. I don't know. You'll call me. I don't know. It was so awkward. You know, the afterwards was awkward. During was fine. You know.
I know. So what have you learned from being married this long that you would pass on?
Well, I think you shouldn't decide until you know the person totally, you know? I think by the time we decided, you knew who I was.
Yeah.
And I knew who you were.
Yeah, but we were together 2 years, where some people date 10 years, they get married, and then get divorced.
I know.
And I never understand
it's shocking.
That,
I know.
You know?
I don't either.
So,
but what's the big surprise?
Yeah, I don't know.
What about stress? Who handles it better?
We stress over different things. That's the problem.
But
why I'm worse is because I stress over things that you really shouldn't. You know, I'm neurotic. I'm the neurotic one.
Well, so like
I'll,
what?
I'll stress over, you know, what's this bump? What's this thing? How, that guy, he hates me. You know, stuff like that.
But constantly, all day, there's something.
You know, I'm neurotic. I'm a hypochondriac. I'm a pessimist, and I obsess over things. Where she stresses over things like...
Yeah,
that's
I stress
true.
Over, like, real things.
And that's when I am the rational one.
I stress over the kids, you know, if they're not working, they're not going to school, or it's just the real life things where he's just obsessed over little...
Yeah, well, there's a great saying that a good marriage, people don't go crazy at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. We go crazy at the same time.
Oh.
So... You know,
oh, wow.
When he panics, I panic, and when I panic, he panics.
Yeah.
And I've been trying to really work on that.
Yeah.
Which is, when he panics, I really try very hard not to, and he tries not to.
I think we do that. I think we do that pretty good.
Interviewing other people about marriage is really interesting, because every time we do, we get in the car and say, well, do we do that? Do you do, you know?
Yeah.
And one of the things we were thinking through is about what we really get from the other that we just can't get anyplace else, and not love and sex and those things, but other emotional things. And I'm a very self-reliant person.
Wow.
I'm very resourceful and tough and all that. But when I get blue or down, only one person can make it better, and that's Phil. He will talk me out of where I put myself. I'm one of those people who always feels I said the wrong thing somewhere.
Yeah.
And did you see that person's face? I mean, I really, why did I say that then? I say, are you kidding? You were the most interesting person at the party. Are you crazy?
Aww,
you know, yes. He'll just bring me all the way from zero up. So I'm trying to figure out how that, if there's that in you guys.
I think, well, he's...
what I get from her is the truth, you know? In this business where everyone either is phony or kissing your ass, you know, I know that's not going to happen with her. She's just going to tell me the truth and not be mean about it, but it's exactly what I want, you know?
You can count on it.
Yes. Perfect example. And when Everybody Loves Raymond premiered, I was in L.A. and she was home with the kids. And so to celebrate, we were going to go to Vegas, me and Kevin James, my buddy. And when I told her we're going to Vegas, she goes, oh, you're going to Vegas? Meantime, I'm home with the kids. I go, but my show premiered. And I was kind of being mockingly cocky, you know. I was saying, do you understand what is happening right now? I'm being broadcast in front of the whole United States, okay? 30 million people are going to see me tonight. You know, I'm just trying to be annoying, whatever. I'm going to be a star tomorrow. And to which she said, you're still the dick I married.
That's so wonderful.
We had such a great time with Ray and Anna. After we wrapped up, we realized
we had completely forgotten to ask about one very important experience that they had gone through together. Days later, we called them on the phone to hear the story.
So were you alone when you got the news, Anna, or was Ray with you with the doctor, or how did it happen?
Well, the gynecologist found a lump, so we did a mammogram, and they found something.
Yeah, when I picked up the phone, you were crying, and I immediately thought it was my father, because my father was close to leaving us.
Ill. Yeah.
And then you told me that.
I was very upset.
And then you went for the biopsy,
We had to wait a whole weekend to get the results, and then when we got the results, it was like Monday morning at 9 a.m.
Yeah, it was Monday morning.
We were together because we were waiting for them to call, you know?
Yeah, we called from the bathroom. I remember we were in the bathroom. You know, it's very you're nervous all weekend. We were hosting a Super Bowl party that weekend.
Oh, God.
We had 50 at least people over our house. And we just had to, you know, get through it.
I'm sure that was very scary.
Very, very.
But we were first trying to say, look, let's not think it's anything until we know it's something, you know?
Right.
I think it was like 9 a.m. on a Monday they called us.
You know, first we kind of got emotional, and but then we immediately didn't want to waste any time, you know?
Yeah.
I remember I had to call my manager and cancel. It kind of hit me then when I had to tell him why. I was in the closet, and I got a little. It overtook me a little bit.
So at that moment when you got the phone call,
they said, "So it is breast cancer," and of course, I'm going to get emotional.
I know. Well, who wouldn't? I'm getting emotional listening to it.
I don't know. I think when you get the news, it's just...
I think I was all weekend just trying to convince myself, well, it's not. It's not going to be that, you know?
And mind you, Ray is such a hypochondriac. He's always like, I think I have stomach cancer. I think I have this cancer. And it's funny because it's not funny, but I did say to him, I go, you're the one who always thinks you have cancer. I never do, and I'm the one who gets it, you know? But I'm glad it was me and not you, because at least I guess I'm stronger maybe in that sense. I don't know.
It was a very emotional period because also the day you had your surgery was the day my father passed away.
Oh, my.
And I remember...
So, we were driving to the hospital, you know, at like, I don't know, 6 a.m., and my mother-in-law called us to say... They think today is going to be the day that he passes. I don't know what
happened. And while you were getting prepped, my mother called me and told me he passed away. And then I saw you before you went in, but I didn't tell you. You said, how's your father? But I didn't want to tell you then. But then we kind of, you know, we made like a connection and a feeling that my father kind of went to a place where he could look over you Now I'm getting emotional. And make sure that everything goes well for you, you know?
That's a lovely thought.
Well, I learned how strong she is, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I learned, you know, I'm not the most demonstrative man. Anna knows this about me.
Yeah.
But, yeah. When something like this happens and you face the fact that you may lose someone like this, it kind of it shines a light on how much you love this person, and I should say it.
Yes, you should every day.
Yes. The reason this marriage works is because, thankfully, she knows I love her, and you know, some women who have to hear it out loud, it's not going to go that well when you're married to a guy like me, you know?
Well, it's pretty clear how well it is going between Ray and Anna Romano, and it was such fun hanging out with them.
It sure was. Until next time, I'm Phil Donahue.
And I'm Marlo Thomas.
Did you start telling her you loved her then?
No.
I did then, but...
Said it a couple more times, but...
10 years later, though.
Double Date is a production of Pushkin Industries.
The show was created by us and produced by Sarah Lilly. Michael Bahari is associate producer. Musical adaptations of It Had to Be You by Stellwagen Symphonette.
Marlo and I are executive producers, along with Mia Lobel and Lital Molad from Pushkin.
Special thanks to Jacob Weisberg, Malcolm Gladwell, Heather Fain, John Schnars, Carly Migliori, Eric Sandler, Emily Rostek, Jason Gambrell, Paul Williams, and Bruce Kluger.
If you like our show, please remember to share, rate, and review. Thanks for listening.